you can't hear the sound, raise your hand. Okay, we'll do it a couple more times. Really try to follow, put your attention on the sound. We're going to go straight into meditation. So just stay still. You can keep your eyes closed. Or if you're not comfortable with your eyes closed, just put them, focus them on the floor just a little bit in front of you. And allow yourself experientially, it's almost like sitting in a chair, sit back in yourself. And put your attention on the in-breath, on the gentle sensation at the tip of your nose. No need to control the breath. At first, you might not be aware of anything. You might not be able to notice any sensation. Keep your attention soft. And both relax and pay attention. If you're finding yourself distracted, that's okay. Just keep gently bringing your attention back to the breath. Keep your body still. And keep putting your attention on your breath. If you're finding yourself distracted, just open your eyes and just look at the floor in front of you. And if you're too distracted to follow the breath, just become aware of the quality in the room. Pockets of stillness. Pockets of energy. when I sound the bell, you can open your eyes and come out of the meditation. So that was 6 minutes. How long did it feel? Did it feel like about 15? Felt longer. Shorter. And what did you notice?
It was harder this time.
Mm-hmm.
It was.
Mm-hmm. Why?
I heard her breathing, and then that snapped me out of it. And then I heard him laughing in his meditation. I just got to
distracted. Uh-huh.
A
lot of things going on, a lot of distractions. What did you notice? Yeah. Was it hard? Sort of. What else do you notice? Did you feel how many things were going on in the room?
Yeah.
It was a little bit like ping pong balls going... You know, or pinball, you know, it's like a pinball game, and you could feel like little pockets like exploding here. Did you feel also that when you, the minute you tried to focus and tried to pull everything in, there was this like force that wanted to scatter everything?
Yeah.
That was happening. And then did you feel there were moments of like very, like there were pockets of stillness? There were people moving, people doing other things, but there were pockets of stillness? Yeah. Do you want to finish your text and put phone away? Okay. So it's not that easy, right? Because we just did 6 minutes, and last time we had a bigger build-up. So we were creating focus in the room by putting our attention on the practice of meditation. Now, Ms. McKay said you guys were talking about this during the week. What did you... Did anyone practice? Did anyone try? No.
I tried, but I couldn't.
You couldn't? Okay.
The bells help out a lot.
The bells help?
Yeah.
How do they help?
Oh, no. Like, kind of gathers our focus or something.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And they're very unique. Like, I tried to use one on my iPhone.
No, they're not very, even the meditation sounds, they're not very good. Because this one, you feel the vibration of it. Exactly. That's okay. Did you all wish you could meditate? Did you think about it during the week and go, gosh, I wish I was one of those yogis that I could sit in caves for like 20 years and just bliss out? And so this is, it's hard. It really takes a lot of cultivation. And it takes being willing to sit through endless distraction. So just because you can hear somebody breathing doesn't mean you have to stop meditating. And that's the power of focus, and it's the power of concentration. And it's part of what happens when you become more adept and also more committed. Is it what meditation does is it helps us define our relationship to life rather than having the external environment or the thoughts in our heads defining our relationship to life. We actually want to take hold of our destiny. We can't control what's going to happen to us. All kinds of bad things happen, good things happen, but we can control our relationship to what happens to us. And this becomes incredibly important. Meditation, you sort of slog through a lot of tedium. But you do it, and as we spoke about last week, you start developing different go-tos, different channels, different literally different neuronal connections between the synapses in your brain that help you when things are really hard. Now, as I told you, I started meditating when I was in high school, and I taught myself from a book, And then I went to Nepal when I was 20. I had my 21st birthday on a lake in the foothills of the Himalayas with the snow peaks around. And yeah, it was pretty amazing. And I did my first meditation retreat there with several very old Tibetan teachers. That's when I started meditating, and I kept meditating. And it was 4 years ago that I really appreciated the power of meditation. Now, 4 years ago, I was driving back from New York City. I used to live in Massachusetts. And I lived in the country, and I was on a country road that was very narrow and windy, and it was raining a little bit. It was that time of day that's sort of between day and night. It was about 6 o'clock in the evening. It was summertime, so there were lots of trees overhead, and you couldn't really see that well. It was a narrow road. And the next thing I know, I was completely crushed in my car. I had met an 18-wheel tractor trailer head-on in a direct collision. The whole car was absolutely crushed against me, and I couldn't move. I didn't know if I was going to live. I didn't know if I still had legs, because I both couldn't feel, and I had incredible pain. And there was blood everywhere. The steering wheel was pressed in my chest. And, you know, I really didn't know what was going to happen. Fortunately, I was in a very small town, and fortunately there were EMTs, and within about 15 minutes, there were about 30 people around the car trying to get me out. And they couldn't get me out. They couldn't open the doors. They had to bring one of those big metal cutters, they call them the jaws of life, and they had to start cutting the roof of the car off to be able to get in to get me out. Meanwhile, they didn't know if my spine was broken, you know, if I had, you know, internal injuries, if my legs were severed. They just didn't know. And I was going in and out of consciousness. I could feel like this incredible terror and fear and panic and pain overtaking me, and I just wanted to let go and panic. And I could also feel the focus and attention of these 30 people who were trying to get me out. And every time they tried to snip the metal, the car would move, and it turned out the driving shaft was broken and severing my leg, and my foot was, like, a whole chunk of my leg was crushed from the impact. And every time they shook the car, it was just I just exploded in pain, and I screamed at one point. And there was this kind of burly guy. He must have been about, I don't know, like late 50s, early 60s, big sort of rough EMT, and he said, "You know, honey, if you don't settle down, we're not going to be able to get you out." And he kind of shouted at me. And at that moment, I felt the power of the meditation. I had a choice. I could feel my consciousness going between panic and presence. And at that moment, I felt like if I really was going to die, or if, you know, I was going to have, you know, such severe injuries that I wouldn't be able to function or think clearly, I didn't want my last moments to be in hysteria. I just didn't want to go that way. And I felt like there were all these people trying to help me out, that I had no right to separate myself out and just be in fear, that I had to stay present. We had to stay together, and that was, you know, the best thing was going to happen. So from that moment on, I was completely present. I didn't scream. I wasn't afraid anymore. I let go. And it was the power of endless practice with my thoughts, with my feelings, going through frustration, distraction and anger and everything you experience in meditation, boredom, sleep, that I was able to do that when I needed it. And took them about an hour. They got me out of the car. They were going to helicopter me to the hospital, which was about 25 miles away, but the weather was too bad, so they drove me in the ambulance, and I had a lot of surgeries, and I'm here. And it's a minor miracle, and I'm incredibly lucky. And also part of what I know has helped me rehabilitate, get my cognitive functions back, and is never being victimized by what happened. It wasn't really his fault. It wasn't really my fault. The state trooper said these things just happen. Nobody was really negligent. It was just one of those things. And because I was able to stay present, then I was able to take hold and take charge of my relationship to what happened and not be a victim of what was happening to me. So if anyone asks, well, how, you know, just watching your breath or just sitting still or just fighting through sleep and boredom and anxiety can be worth it, when we're really in trouble, when really critical things are happening and we need to be present, not just for that moment, but for whatever is going to unfold for the next, you know, period of time, I can tell you, this is really worth it. It's really worth the effort. So we're going to meditate, and we're going to do just a couple more short meditations, and then I'm going to teach you a little bit about the mind and how to understand the mind. So we start having the building blocks so you can really cultivate this kind of strength. It's not going to be easy, but it's fun. Don't worry about everyone else. I'll take care of everyone. Believe it or not, I have a good sense of what's happening. And this time we're not going to focus on the breath. We're just going to do what's called meditation without seed. We're just going to let the bells take our attention in, and then we're just going to be aware. We're just going to kind of pay attention to the quality in the room, the quality of consciousness, what we're aware of, in a very open way. As you start thinking about things, it's okay. You'll think about things, but just let the thoughts go and broaden your awareness out. And we'll do this for about 5 minutes, 5-7 minutes. See if you can broaden your attention. It's like listening with an inner ear. be focused, but soften your attention so you're aware. And paying attention to what seems to be at the background of everything. It's like when you look at the night sky, pay attention to the blackness, not to the stars. Pay attention to the backdrop of awareness, not the thoughts or the sounds. Okay, we can finish the meditation now. Do you feel the stillness in the room?
Yes.
It's a little warm in here, but which helps in some ways, but makes it harder to pay attention. So, the way we learn to gain control over our minds is not by clenching down, it's by understanding and perspective. So a way to break it down is that there are several components of mind. There's mind, which is that organ of perception, which is different than the brain, related to the brain, and we're going to get into some interesting things about that. There's mind, there's thought, which is, you know, all the popcorn popping in our heads all the time, mostly that drives us crazy and sometimes is a little useful. And there's consciousness or awareness. And people don't know exactly what consciousness is. They call it the hard problem of neuroscience. The soft problem of neuroscience, which is easier, is trying to map consciousness and the brain and different parts of the brain. The hard problem of neuroscience is what neuroscientists call the why of consciousness. What is consciousness? What makes us conscious? Where did it arise from? And nobody has a particularly good explanation yet. So, but consciousness, you know, in the metaphor of looking at the night sky and paying attention to the blackness, not to the objects in consciousness, not to the stars, that sense of awareness or knowing or consciousness that seems present is a metaphor. We don't know exactly what it is. But it's different than the brain, it's different than the organ of perception, and it's different than the objects of perception, which are consciousness. Now, to understand, we're going to do a couple weeks on mind, thought, and consciousness. And one of the foundations that we're going to develop is self-knowledge. What do you always think about? Where does your mind go? Do you know what you think about? Do you think some things and actually you find your mind doing a lot of other things? So we want to become conscious of that. It's not that much fun sometimes, because you might find that you're thinking about incredibly mundane and petty and useless things most of the time. Or you might find that you're much happier than you thought, and you're thinking good thoughts all the time. Or you might find that you're more frustrated and victimized and blaming everybody else than you thought. So we're going to start becoming aware of our thought. And we're going to do that using a meditation technique. So we start capturing the thoughts. So I want you to take just a minute before we start. Usually we write these things down, but we don't have notebooks. So just for a minute, think about the top three things that you think you think about. You don't have to tell me. Now, does everyone have three things? Are they the things you want to think about, or are they things you know you probably do think about?
It's the truth.
You know you think about these things. Okay, it's the truth. All right. Now, in this meditation, basically what we're going to do, it's a thought, it's a technique, and it's fun. We're going to watch the thoughts as they arise. And as soon as you see, it's like, you know, air bubbles coming up in a fish tank. As soon as you see the thought coming up, put it visually in a bubble and follow that thought until the next one comes up. Now, you might have like a dozen thoughts coming up all the time, but generally you can start. And so you start, pay attention to the thought, put a bubble around it, let it float away, grab the next one, and start paying attention to what you're really thinking. And how this, so this is a different type of meditation. We're actually going to be kind of.
So we're letting it play out?
Yeah, you're letting it play out until another thought starts coming. Because you're going to start having like some kind of memory or daydream or something. And that'll be one thought. But that thought's made up of about 10 thoughts. And then you're going to be aware of yourself thinking about thought, which is another thought. And then there's going to be some idea about lunch coming in, or there's going to be some idea about your mom, or, you know, so you're going to start becoming aware of the things that are going on in your mind, even though we always choose one storyline to follow. There are a lot of different things happening. And this is going to cultivate self-knowledge, so we know what we're thinking about. It's a hard one. So we'll just go for... What time do we end? 15:02? Oh, 11:50. Okay. All right. So we're going to go for 7 minutes. Just encasing your thoughts in bubbles. So sit up straight with the spine erect, your head floating on top of your neck, your legs uncrossed. Keep your posture straight, but relax. And now start the next thought that you become aware of, put a bubble around it and follow it as it floats away until the next thought comes. Keep tracking your thoughts, your reactions to things you hear or feel. Sit as still as possible. Keep your attention loose but focused. If you're distracted, it's okay. This is a hard exercise. Just keep watching the mind, watching the thoughts. Thoughts can be thoughts of frustration, boredom, restlessness. Just keep watching what's happening. And when you hear the bell, you can open your eyes. We'll end the meditation. So what I want to do is I want to do three groups, and I just want you all to talk about how it went with each other. And then we'll have a couple minutes at the end for questions. So I don't know. However it's easy. I guess you six, and another. Do like half and half in the back, and just talk about what you experienced, what you found, what was frustrating. Actually, maybe we'll do three groups. So 2, 4, 6 to there, 2, 4, 5, and then you 5. Yeah, that's fine. Great.
I'm not going to try it tonight. I was singing. I was singing.
All right.
I love that bell.
It's a good one. So what'd you find out? Yeah.
I started on a specific thought in a specific place. Like when you said put in a bubble, like the bubble was going up, and when I would think of the new thought, I would start at the same place.
Mm-hmm.
And I would wrap it in a bubble, and like the bubbles would line up for me.
They never disappeared. They all crowded in your head. So your head gets filled with, there's no release. Were you surprised at the thoughts?
Yeah, they, a little. Like the thoughts kept going, a new thing or a new person would show up.
They were endless. Yeah. There were more than you thought. What else?
My bubbles were like destructive.
Destructive.
Like in a good way. Only because like when they pop, like you know when a bubble pops.
Yeah.
And like all of like the water or whatever, it just spreads out.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it was. Like, I could never really let go of the thought. It would go into its bubble, and then it would pop, and then thoughts from that thought would permeate this thought, and
uh-huh.
just go off of it. Hard to kind of...
That's interesting.
I think the visual really helps a lot with meditations. Like last week, you did the air a lot, seeing the bubbles. It was really weird. So I put myself into the situation where I would actually see this happening. So it was like, I don't know, my brain's like really weird. So I imagined myself as a little kid looking at a pond and seeing what words would pop up. So I would see the word and then a visual thought would come into it and then it would go up and then I would travel it across my face and it hit my hairline and I don't know where it went after that.
What did you guys notice?
It was related to a past discussion I had with the teacher.
Uh-huh. So you're replaying an experience in your head?
Yeah, but I could see it.
You could see it?
It's not good.
Wasn't good.
People died.
Mine was good.
People died in your brain.
Oh. First missiles.
Missiles.
History.
So how many people were happier than you expected? Happy thoughts.
Happy neutral thoughts.
Yeah, neutral thoughts. How many people started getting frustrated with themselves? Uh huh.
I didn't like the thoughts I had.
What were you? You didn't like your thoughts. Uh huh.
I'm just like in my head, I'm a little stressed. Like whenever I think about it, just can't get back to the stress.
So you're worried about something.
Yeah.
There's just stress and stress and stress and stress. And so did that made you more angry seeing how much stress there was? Right. So that's an interesting one because we start to become aware that we feel more pressured or upset or angry or stressed. And so our relationship to that is we want to get out of here. We just want to zone out. We don't want to deal. We want to put on some music really loud in our heads and just shut it all out. So part of this is learning how to be able to be present but not overwhelmed by those experiences. We're going to have crappy experiences. Some things we can do something about and some things we can't. But what this helps us do, meditation doesn't make it so that you're always bombarded. It's not so, you're not going to become more acutely aware. But initially it's going to be unpleasant because you're going to realize that there's buffers between you and reality most of the time. Those buffers don't really help us. They're not useful tools. They don't help us gain control over our lives. So, but it's uncomfortable at the beginning. We just go, oh, crap, I didn't realize I was thinking this all the time and I'm worried about all of this and I don't know how to deal with it. In meditation, part of the ground rules is you're not going to do anything about anything. You're not going to act. You're not going to make decisions. You're not going to respond. When you stop meditating, that's when you're going to act and make decisions and respond. You don't get out of that. But during meditation, the rule is that you're not going to respond. And by being able to stay aware of what's going on, it actually creates distance for us. So when we do stop meditating, you realize, oh, there's more space. I have more wherewithal. I have more perspective than I thought I did. But during meditation, it's going to feel overwhelming. But you start becoming aware of it because it's going on anyway. What else? What about songs, movies, memories, resentments? Who had storylines going through their head? Storylines. Good, bad, scale 1 to 10.
From the good, the bad, the 1 to 10? Or
just yeah.
From, about a 7.
7 on the good side, on the bad side.
Bad.
Okay. So some of us tend to have more negative thoughts going on. It's good to know. We're going to want to retrain some of that. It's not that useful. Just because we have that doesn't mean we'll always have that. We can start literally paying attention to the backdrop of consciousness. We don't have to pay attention to those negative memories and feelings and self-criticism. We actually don't have to. We have a choice.
Just curiosity. Is that good or a bad thing?
Curiosity is great. Interest is really good. Open-ended interest, where you just become aware. That's a lot of what this does.
Right.
Now, the bell is about to ring. So I want to encourage you all to try. And it might be good to have a little practice journal, like a little meditation journal. And if you try, just make some notes about it. If you remember some things from today, make some notes about it. Just between you and you, I'm not going to look at them. Nobody else is going to collect them. But you start becoming a scientist of your own process. You start becoming curious about your process, not just upset about how well you're doing or how poorly you're doing. Just you know, an impartial observer of what's interesting, what's moving, some cool experiences, some sense of thoughtlessness, sense of spaciousness. Just start becoming aware. All kinds of things happen and we don't really notice them. And if we make some notes, it helps us. Any questions? You discouraged or encouraged?
Encouraged.
Okay, good. Good. Any other questions? You feel more relaxed than when you came in? A little bit? A little more energized, a little more relaxed.
Yeah.
Relaxation and energizing go together, which is an interesting thing. So the more that you meditate, the less you eat and the less you sleep.
Really?
Long meditation retreats usually just you usually just sleep like 4 hours a night. You don't need you don't need to sleep anymore because you're refreshing your whole system, your mind, your body, and. Well, I'm a big advocate of everyone getting a little more sleep than they probably do, because you know, busy lives, you do need sleep. I used to not sleep very much, but I'm a big advocate of sleep now. I think, especially when you're going through growth spurts, it's important. Yeah. No question. You were just. What's that? Just stretching. How'd it go? How'd it go today? It's good. What, was it different than last week?
Yeah, more relaxed.
Uh-huh. Have you ever meditated before? There we go. All right, have a good week.
Thank you.
All right, you're welcome.